Well, we're very thankful to be here this morning. And let's turn back to Psalm 105. Psalm 105. Now, those of you who'd like to, if you've got your social distancing, you can take your mask off now if you're more comfortable. But I appreciate everybody doing as we're supposed to do. And I'd like to say this, that, you know, God doesn't save anybody because they deserve it. He didn't save me because I deserve to be saved. And He doesn't call any man to preach because he deserves to be called to preach. And no man preaches because he deserves to. We all deserve the eternal wrath of God. That's what we deserve. Because of what we are. Because of we have a sin nature. And I'm glad that it's that way. And God doesn't save anybody because of what they are in themselves. In myself, I'm a sinner. In myself, I'll always be a sinner. I'll never be anything but a sinner in this life. And I'll never deserve God's salvation. Never. God saves because he wants to. Just because he wants to. And because he can. He's God. He does as he will. Always as he will. Only as he will. Ever as he will. Upon whom he will. At what time he will. And he does not ask anybody's permission for what he does. And he gives no account of any of his matters. It's nobody's business. He's God, and he doesn't answer to anybody. And I'm thankful that he is just that God.
Amen.
He's not this God that wants to and can't because men are so stubborn. If it had been his will and purpose from eternity to save everybody, that's who he would have saved. But it wasn't. It was his will to save those whom he had chosen in the covenant of grace before the foundation of the world, whom he gave to his son as his son's spouse, whom his son redeemed by his blood, and who the Holy Spirit calls and gives them faith freely.
Amen.
They just find that they believe. They find it in their heart. Yeah, I believe that story. I believe that's the truth. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, God puts His Spirit in their heart and causes them to believe the gospel when they hear it. And they are able to hear it and believe it. And everybody else on the top side of this planet has got a little doubt. Well, I don't know if I believe that story or not. And they have no interest in it. Those who have an interest in it, legally. Now, it's just like citizenship in the U.S. I'm a citizen of this country. I have an interest in what my government does because I'm a citizen. Now, those people in Russia or wherever else, they could care less what this government does because they have no interest in it. They're not bound in any kind of a covenant. But we are. We have a covenant interest. So we have, the people of God have a covenant interest in the covenant of God. And that's their legal interest, but they have a vital interest. They want to hear about it. They want to understand it. They want to know more about it. They hunger for it. They thirst for it. They have a desire to increase in the knowledge of it. And so they seek to understand more about their standing in the grace of God. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? We stand in grace. We stand before God accepted, holy in the Lord Jesus Christ, perfectly righteous in His righteousness. And so we stand accepted in the Beloved. And the fact is, we've always been that way. There's never been a time when we were not accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ, because we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. God has loved us from everlasting. He never changes. Now I'd like to talk a little bit about that covenant that we're talking about. But as a side note, as Brother Jerry's reading, we turn to Psalm 105 again, and I just want to bring this up. Not that I'm going to preach on it, but I want to bring it up. It says something about 1,000 generations. Verse 8. He hath remembered His covenant forever. Well, God made a covenant before the foundation of the world. The everlasting covenant. Yes, and He remembers it forever, the word which He commanded to 1,000 generations. Now, the word 1,000 generations, that right there, is forever and ever. It means eternity. Has no end. Well, most Bible commentators say that that's what 1,000 means in the book of Revelation, chapter 20. Well, let's turn over and read that. Look at Revelation chapter 20. And I'm not going to get on this. That's not where I want to be, I don't think. and let's just read here the first 4, 5, 6 verses. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Now that's no doubt the Lord Jesus Christ. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now that's what most Bible commentators say is for eternity. But let's read on. And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were fulfilled. Sounds like an end put to that 1,000 years, don't it? And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. Now this is nothing new, that people should be beheaded and be martyred for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. During the first persecution, the Roman Emperor Nero was a complete idiot, and he set Rome on fire. And thousands lost their lives, and he went up on some temple and watched it burn and rejoiced while it was burning. But then when he saw that it had turned politically against him, he blamed the Christians. He said this is those Christians' fault, and there were thousands of Christians that were martyred because of the wicked man. And God's people have have sealed their testimony by their blood all down through the Christian era, and we may have to do it again. We don't know what's coming. But anyway, so it's no new thing. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark in their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. In other words, they shall not be cast into the lake of fire. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years were expired. Now, if the other two places weren't clear enough that this 1,000 years has an end, this is. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and go forth to deceive the nations on the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, and gather them together to the battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. So, 1,000 doesn't always mean infinite. Here it does not. In this book of Revelation, it meant 1,000. That's when 1,000 years expired at the end of 1,000 years. So, there's coming a time when the Lord Jesus is going to reign right here. In Revelation 5:10 it says, "And we shall." Well, let's read that. Revelation 5:10. Let's read Revelation 5, 9, and 10. "And they sung a new song." Now, who is that saying? That's the covenant people of God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's that same group of people that were sealed in the everlasting covenant before the foundation of the world, whom the Lord Jesus Christ purchased. He bought them with his blood. Well, you say, well, what value can blood have? Well, it depends on whose blood it is.
That's right.
If it's the blood of a earthworm, where they have blood, I don't know. But anyway, it would have little value. But the blood of Jesus Christ is God's blood.
That's
right. It's God's blood. And it is the most valuable thing that eternity or the universe has ever seen in the eyes of God.
Amen. Precious.
Precious blood. It is the precious. And it's precious in God's sight. Now in this world's view, it's of no value. In this religious world's view, it's of no value, because many for whom he died are going to hell anyway, according to them.
Yeah.
That's what the free willers say.
Yeah.
But that's not the truth.
No.
All whom he purchased with his blood, he will possess. "They shall be mine when I come to make up my jewels, saith the Lord." Malachi chapter, I don't remember. But anyway, that's where it's at. All right, let's go on there. Revelation 5, 9. "And they sung a new song." Well, let's identify them another way. They are the children of the everlasting covenant of grace. They are everybody who believes. And the reason they believe is because they had nothing to do with it. They were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. At the time appointed, God passed by and said, "Live" to them. And at that instant, they went from unbelief to belief.
Amen.
They believed on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That He's the Son of God. That He is the only suitable Savior of men. And hallelujah, He is. And He is of sufficient power and has accomplished everything the Father sent Him into this world to do. And the Father sent Him into this world to save His people from their sins. But let's read on. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book. Now, we're all unworthy in ourselves. But 1 John 4:17 says, As He is, so are we in this world. And as He is, so are we before the God of heaven and earth. And so will we be in the day of judgment. All right. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us, or bought us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. How long? 1,000 years. That's what it says in chapter 20. But then, when those 1,000 years expire, Satan's going to be loosed and go out and deceive the nations again, because he's a deceiver.
Yes.
And an accuser of the brethren.
Yeah.
All right, now, let's go back to Psalm 105. Now, before we go here, let's go to Psalm 40. Turn to Psalm 40. Psalm 40, verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are Thy wonderful works which Thou hast done, and Thy thoughts which are to usward. Thy thoughts, His counsel, His decree, from which come His covenant, which He has, He still thinks what He always thought. His mind has never changed. He is the immutable God. And what He always thought concerning His covenant people is what He still thinks. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace. Jeremiah 29:11. He's always, His heart and His mind has always been settled upon His covenant people. Those whom He has loved with an everlasting love from eternity. Many, O Lord my God, are Thy wonderful works and which Thou hast done, and Thy thoughts which are to usward. And usward here means what it does in 2 Peter 3:9, where it says, God is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, covenant people. He's not willing that any of His covenant people should perish, but that all of His covenant people should come to repentance and live. And it also means what it does in Ephesians 1:19. His wonderful power to usward, whom He raised from spiritual death. All right, let's go on. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto Thee, and if I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. He has saved us with a salvation that is better than what we're able to think or to ask. Now let's go back to Psalm 105. He hath remembered His covenant forever. Back up to verse 5. Remember his marvelous works which he hath done, and his wonders, and his judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. Who's that? That's everybody that believes the gospel. That's everybody that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't do it in their own power. They believe because faith has been given them. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Not of works. Not anything that we've done. Not by any worthiness that's in us. Not by anything about us. It's of His purpose, His work. Not of works, lest you'd brag. Look at how sanctimonious I am. The seed of Abraham is everyone who believes the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Galatians 3:6-7. Galatians 3:6-7. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Look at Romans 2:28. Romans 2:28. For he is a Jew, For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. In other words, believers. That's who a Jew is. Now look at Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45, verse 22. Isaiah 45:22. Look unto me, in other words, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. Who's that leave out? Everybody don't believe. Everybody that does believe, that includes it. Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye in the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. And he makes no apologies. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me shall every knee bow, and every tongue shall swear, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. This world going to acknowledge that someday. That day's coming. Because he's coming back personally. Our Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. And he's coming back to this earth. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Everyone that believes on him. Even unto him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. All the seed of Israel. They who are of faith are the children of Abraham. If you believe, you're the seed of Israel. You're an inward Jew. You're the seed of Abraham, the friend of God. And He's loved you. And He'll never leave you. And He'll never lose you. Look at Hebrews chapter 6, or chapter 2. Hebrews 2, verse 16. Now this is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ as He stands in His many offices for men toward God. For verily He took not on angels. He didn't come here to save angels. But He took on the seed of Abraham. He took on him. He made it His responsibility to bring them to everlasting glory. Look at Ephesians 2:14. Not Ephesians 2:14, but 2 Thessalonians 2:14. And we'll move on here in just a minute. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Because God hath from the beginning, or from eternity past, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we suffer with Him, we'll also reign with Him. And if we're His, we will suffer with Him. All right, now let's go back to Psalm 105. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. That's believers, everyone who believes the gospel. He is the Lord our God, His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered His covenant forever. Now, right now, this morning, our Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father in His throne.
Yeah. Yes, He is.
Mm-hmm. And He's right there watching over us as a shepherd watches over his sheep. And all around His throne is a beautiful rainbow. And no matter how he looks through that rainbow. That's the token of the covenant. And no matter how He looks on us, He sees us through that covenant relationship, that rainbow. And He says, how beautiful. How beautiful are the tents of Jacob. I have not beheld iniquity in Israel. He says, they're beautiful. I love them. I've loved them from everlasting with a covenant love. They're mine. And I'm theirs. I shall be unto them a God, and they shall be unto me a people.
Amen.
Now, you ain't trying to work this out.
No.
This is finished. It's done. Everyone whom He appointed heir of the covenant. He'll see him in glory. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure or the purpose of the Lord shall prosper, shall be fulfilled in the hand of the mediator of the everlasting covenant of grace. David said, "The Lord hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, and this is all my salvation. And it's my desire." Salvation's of the Lord. I don't care what all these free will preachers say. Salvation's of the Lord.
Amen.
And it's not this man-centered doctrine that says, well, won't you let Jesus save you? That's foolishness.
Yes, it is.
Anyway, let's read on. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac. He swear. The Lord swear and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And not only that, but he also swear that his children would endure as the moon and the sun forever and ever. Everyone that had interest in that covenant. So he swore to the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he swore to our position in the covenant.
Amen. Amen.
We got God's oath. He can't lie. It's not in his nature. Completely outside of what he is. He can't bend the truth. He can't stretch the truth. He is the truth. Verse 9 again. Which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. Well, part of that covenant was the land of Palestine too. I'm going to give you this land. And it's an everlasting covenant. But let's move on. Look at... well, let's go back to Genesis 17:7. Genesis 17:7. Now look at these words.
Mm-hmm.
And I will. That's covenant language. Yeah. Not if you will. That's grace language. I'm going to do this. This is my purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Who's he talking about? He's talking about believers. They're the children of Abraham, spiritual seed of Abraham. And he's promised to them, and he's covenanted right here. He said, I'm going to be your God, and you're going to be my people. I'm the shepherd. You're my sheep. I'm not going to let the wolf get you. And if the bear comes around, I'll kill him too. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to bring you to that purpose that my Father has purposed in you from everlasting, without beginning. Well, how sure is that? Look at Hebrews 13:20. Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of peace, and He's a God of peace toward all of His children, toward all believers, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, according to that which He is well pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. It is so sure, because it's sealed. That covenant is ratified and sealed by God's blood. God sealed our covenant with His own blood. As surely as they drove the nails in His hand, and as sure as He hung there on that cross, and as surely as they pierced His side with that sword, and forthwith came blood and water, that's how sure He is to bring believers to everlasting glory. I want to believe. I want to believe. And I do believe. I don't want to try to act religious. And I don't want to try to be what this world thinks of when they think of a religious man. I want to be whatever it is that God has made me. Because I'll never deserve to be saved. None of us ever will. God has not saved me because I deserve to be saved. God has saved me because He was pleased to make me His son. And as the Lord Jesus Christ is, so am I in this world. Not of my doing, but of His. And so will I be on the day of judgment. On the days of judgment, when the books are open, my sin will be sought for. There will be none. There will be none. They've already been born, put away forever by the Lord Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. Amen.